What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
Spring game Saturday, ain't it?
Yeah, so we ain't really gonna have a lot, you know, to talk about besides recruiting.
Hey, I'm gonna be out of town. Is it gonna be on the radio?
Probably most likely. I don't know why they not scheduling on TV. That's dumb.
Man, nobody doing that shit no more for real.
Yeah, I'm about to say everybody getting this shit out of there. Well, it's weird though, because you don't have a post spring window now, so I don't really see.
We was on the Discord the other day and we were discussing, is it smart for two other schools to just play each other during the spring, or for us to take off the FAMU or Bethune game and just play them in the spring instead of playing them in the season and just play, you know?
Yep.
And I think that's better, you know what I'm saying? Where you give us another game that matters during the season instead of us playing FAMU. I mean, we, you know, we can throw them out.
So right. Play them get, some, spring. Get some reps.
Yeah, you don't have to, you don't even have to play your starters in spring. Like, let me play the freshmen who come in. Let me play the backups. The starters, right. Y'all don't got to play. You know what I'm saying? We gonna practice and y'all good. Y'all ain't got to play. Let me see what my backup and my freshmen got. You know what I'm saying? And they playing against HBCU or FCS school that's top, you know. I think that's more better than just having a spring game against your one.
Yeah, because I mean, that's really more for the fans. Just, you know, it don't. I don't feel like spring game helps you get better per se. Because it's usually all sorts of, you know, we want to do weird scoring and situational football, blah blah blah. So it's just like it helps you get better in an extent, but it, like, really, it's just more for us to interact with the school or with the team and be like, all right, here's the first opportunity for y'all to get a look at some of the young guys and you know, hang out and, you know, maybe catch an autograph, you know, just visuals, the visuals, and have people be able to touch.
Wait, so you're saying the spring games don't matter for real?
Not really.
It really don't. Like, for one, like he said, it's really you just doing situational football. You know what I'm saying? So it's not really game formatted. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
Like, say for instance, Miami, they'll put their starters in, and they don't even get a first down, but they still driving downfield. Like, that ain't a real game situation. That's okay, we're going to do situation. You know what I'm saying? We on fourth down. Let's convert on the fourth down.
It's just an open practice. It's just an open practice. So I was saying, like,
have a game. Instead of us playing FAMU or Bethune-Cookman during the season, let's play them during the spring. Let's go play another school that can help or build our resume for the playoffs.
Everybody will have to change that game pretty much.
There's plenty of schools to do it. Like, you, it's so many HBCU schools and so many FCS schools that you could do that.
You're not gonna schedule I'm trying to think of an out of conference team, motherfucking. You're not gonna schedule a Purdue. Not gonna take that.
No, right. So yeah, what we're talking about is Knicks and them kind of games, which I get because they would probably prefer that too because. That ain't an L on their schedule either, right? So, like, they can get in. We'll pay them just like you was going to pay them to play you during the regular season, right? So they still getting the bread, but now they don't even have to eat that L on their actual schedule because, I mean, they know it's L. They know the shit of L, but, hey, you know, let's go get this money. Let us get some practice because we're going to practice against a team way better than us, and that'll give us an opportunity to step up too. What's your objection, D-Rob?
I was about to say, I wouldn't even play Bethune or FAMU. I mean, you got FIU right here in your backyard, right? Or you got FM, you got Florida Memorial right there. If you want to work, help out of HBCU, Flomo right there. Even kick them a look, hey, $100,000 towards your athletic. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we pay these teams to play them. Like Bethune, hey, you come down here to Hard Rock, we'll beat your head in. You'll get $750,000, you know what I'm saying, towards your athletic program, whatever y'all do. Do the same thing, you know, Florida Memorial. Hey, y'all going to come on down here. We'll do a joint spring practice. We'll pay y'all this and this and this. And you know what I'm saying?
Much of a slot, D-Rod. That might,
but that's another thing. Them little
programs. But hold on, wait. But y'all, but my thing is, if y'all talking about not playing the starters, you playing your backups and all that stuff, why not?
That's true too.
You know what I'm saying? If you playing, if you playing backups, why not?
A lot of them small programs, they program run off of that big ass that 60 to nothing.
That big check, that big check.
$800,000. A lot of programs run off of that shit.
D-Rock, I ain't gonna lie. If we just play our freshmen against Flomo, we gonna blow them out, man.
Yeah, Flomo, I get it,
man.
Yeah.
Flomo probably can't beat some high schools right now, man. And but my homeboy the head coach for them, like.
But my thing is, right, even if y'all do that, the money that y'all they generate is gonna bring them better players and all that. It's gonna help the students and bring them better players. You know what I'm saying? Because then, even though they HBCUs, they can be like, oh, well, we got this little NIL. We can, you know what I'm saying? Throw you about like five bands, you know, something. You know,
I think Flomo is a different. Flomo HBCU, but they're a different level of football. They not the HBCU Bethune.
Yeah, I think they're like CAA or something. I know what you're talking about.
They're
a
whole different level. Like, that would be not – that's hard. I don't think most schools would want to do that because now you risk – for one, you know, the risk of injuries, and then it just ain't gonna help you get better because those players aren't close to the level. What I mean is FAMU, Bethune, or schools like that, like they at least got players who could play in D1. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Some of them just, a lot of them came from, you know, bigger school. Hell, we played Thad Franklin at FAMU.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? Like, or just imagine the year when Deion was at what's the school he was at? He was
Jackson State.
Just imagine them saying, okay, yeah, we're going to go and play against Alabama for the spring game. That would have been nationally televised.
Or they're like Ole Miss or something like that.
Something regional. And that'd make it like that. Because if you did it in a regional way, I could see where you would have that benefit as well. You could sell more tickets that way too. So it'll be, you know what the outcome is, but still.
It don't have to be every school. Yeah, it don't have to be every school because every school don't have it. But I do agree with you, D-Rob. Like you saying, Miami got FIU right there. I don't know, maybe that's
too high level.
To have a level, maybe.
I think it might be
more brawls than anything because you remember like Mario coached that day. We already got into scuffles with them. We already owed him my ass whooping from a couple years ago.
Yeah. we can play like FSU right now till they get their program to
go. Oh,
yeah, we can play them.
Till they ready to play some big boys.
Yeah, we can show play them. We can show play them, but
and we'll go second string and that give our guy, you know, they guys a chance to sharpen their tools a little bit, man. By the way, this is 26 degrees. We're not gonna do the traditional intro because we have some good convo. So I'll say let's just rock and roll.
Yeah.
We're in a little tight window today, too. So it's Larry here, which is usual. Man, we got a major guest in here with us today, man. He's gracious with his presence. I know the people are saying, what it means is what it means. Turnpike is burning, baby. Turnpike music. Say what's up to the people.
Man, what's up, y'all boys, man? Ladies and gentlemen, for the ladies who watch, man, I've been tied up. Started grad school. I got sports going on at my school, man. But I'm back in the motion, man. I had to get used to the little schedule change and shit. But, man, I am, man. My fault, y'all.
A lot on your plate, brother. Congrats. Yes, sir. School's a lot. And teaching and athletic stuff, man. You ain't.
It's a lot, bro. I'm getting home, motherfucking 7:30. I'm like, this shit could kiss my ass.
And he got old lady too, so
facts.
Listen, what minute the brother got left after that, man?
Bro. You know what's funny? Not to hold y'all up, but the other day, I had got to her house, and it was like 7 o'clock, and I was like looking at her, and I was like, "Shit, bro!" I was like, "I gotta fucking sit here and fucking talk to your ass now."
God, that's real. Believe you me, in plenty of days, I'm like, just please.
Ain't enough time in a day, boy.
It's not, man.
Next thing you know, it's 5:45. We're trying to get back up. Shit.
Good to have you back, bro. As yes, usual, sir. We got Real Field General X in the building.
Yo, man. Yo, what's good? What's good? Man, listen, ain't none of y'all married. I'm married, so mine is mandatory. Mine is mandatory.
D-Rock, man.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. D-Rock.
Yeah, and I'm getting married in a couple months. I'm pretty much married.
Yeah, hey, Rock, don't let your wife listen to this episode. She gonna be like, what the fuck y'all got going on?
Why you think you ain't? Oh, man. You gonna get in trouble about that shit, too. You like, man.
Hey, disclaimer. I have nothing to do with that.
yeah, it is.
His name is Yep.
Okay. I know. Hey, I'm no filter, man. But hey, yeah, man, we back. We gonna talk about some recruiting, some spring. Got some news about the coaches, coordinators getting the news. Yeah. That's big, real big. Also, I pissed off a lot of fans. Yeah. I pissed off a lot of Gator fans, and the job well done. I got to pat myself on the back for that one.
Light work, man.
Light work, easy work, man.
Oh, trending in the small way, but yeah. Let's get into it, man. Y'all want to start kind of with the, I guess we the start most with the heavy hands.
Let's start with the coordinators.
All right, cool. Let's go that route,
man. I want to explain how big and huge this is, man. So the Heatherman re-signing new contract was in the works right after the championship game. The Dawson news is kind of new to me. I didn't think they was going to do it this year. I thought it was going to hold off at least to next year because he was still under contract.
Mm-hmm.
But it helps with not just recruiting, but the team itself. Because now they say we have stability. You know what I'm saying? We get to stay in the system a whole nother year.
Right.
Or multiple seasons. And the system stays the same. Mario wants the system to stay the same. So when those coordinators do leave, you can just keep riding, just keep rolling. So it was good. I was hoping they was gonna get the Heatherman one done. They had some schools, some NFL teams, some schools that was ringing phones and stuff like that. But he did decide that he did like what Mario has going on at Miami. And he did, I think him being around this much talent from last year to this year decided why he stayed, because he was never around that type of talent
before. Why you feel like he didn't take no NFL job or like a higher
I think he wants what he wants is he's a coordinator right now. So he is like, even if taking an NFL job, getting a position coach, that's like going backwards. He's a coordinator.
Yeah.
He damn should have won the won that. So it's like, I'm not just gonna go take no linebacker coaching job. I want to be a coordinator. You know what I'm saying? Or if I could be a head coach at another school.
Right. So he read the buy his time. That makes sense.
Yeah. Right. I'm gonna ride it out until somebody come call me and say, hey, give a couple more years. Coach. Yeah. Right.
No, that make a lot of sense to me. I think just the continuity is gonna mean a lot. And I think it shows how serious a program Miami is to anybody else that has any questions, because again, Heatherman just got signed, right? Like, so it shouldn't have been high pressure to, get him re-signed other than maybe some interest in other jobs. But it also shows a dedication to pay for performance. I always say this is a meritocracy. It's not like a place where you just get to come in and the year that you've been, if you're a senior, you get to jump over the freshman. No, you got to beat that freshman. And that's good to show that it runs all the way through the program, to where you take a guy like Heatherman, who, Broyles pretty much runner up. He was a finalist for sure. I don't know.
Indiana coach won, and then he came
with his own boy. Yeah. He won the fan vote, actually. So shout out to the Miami fans or whoever else that was just keeping it a bean and that voted for him. He actually did win the fan vote. That was the first year that they done it. and he won the fan vote. So that was dope.
Man, we jumped from like 60 something or 50 something to number 5 or 4 or something.
Nah, it was like, yeah, we was like top 60 something in the defense, and then now we went to number 5. I think it was like an 11 point difference from 24 to 25.
It was like, yeah, it was clear as day, right? Like, turned on the game. Like, me and Meavy was the biggest proponents for, like,
yeah, hell yeah, defense. Worst shit, like, we ever seen.
You know, you missed it when you wasn't on the show the other day, and X was like, well, were we right there with Ward? And I'm like, hell no, not with that defense. You just couldn't win big with that type of defense. That defense was
everything, a shootout.
Right, and you're just going to lose a shootout eventually. And you know, we can't ask Cam to make a miracle every single week when we had, you know, a coordinator that wasn't putting us in position to win. And we didn't have a secondary that I think was up to par for what we was trying to do. D-Rob, I definitely had this question for you because me and you had a man fired. But you know, it's funny. I swear he must listen to us, because after that, everything changed. After we put him on the chopping block. So how you feel about Shannon Dawson getting that extension?
To be honest, I'm happy about it, right? Because for the longest, you know, I've always said we probably need to get, I mean, I still think we need to get a quarterback coach or whatever the case may be, somebody that knows this system just in case if anything happens. But him signing an extension means he wants to be here for the long haul. He sees what's going on. Like, he's getting his quarterbacks. You know what I'm saying? Like, you haven't signed him yet, but you just got Abrams.
And for next year, you're probably going to,
yeah, and then next year, you're probably going to get Lawrence. And then the year after that, you're looking at the kid from Georgia, CJ Cypher. Yeah, CJ Cypher. Like, you're looking at guys that are kind of like looking at Miami and saying, hey, they developing what they got. Like Abram said, man, look what he did with Cam Ward, number one pick. Look what he did with Carson Beck. Like, them boys is about to be draft picks. Yeah, I kind of want to do that. You know what I'm saying? So I'm happy about it. I'm glad. He needs to just open it up a little bit more, man. We can't have some of those times where he's stalling. We like, what are you doing? None of that. So I'm okay with it. You know what I'm saying? Because honestly, I thought this is probably like, man, this is probably going to be his last year or something. We probably going to go in a different direction. That's what I was thinking. But by him signing that extension, and he was getting head coaching offers in college, like, I'm glad. Stability,
yeah,
man.
XA can't interview, so we ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, I'm glad he bad at interviews. I'm glad.
I hear him in the post-game interviews. I'm like, bro, ain't no fucking way.
He too real. What you think about D-Rob saying he need to open it up a little bit more? I got a little thought on that, but I'm going to let
We've been saying that. There was a lot of people who was like, they was happy they did it because of the optics and recruiting, but this needs to be his last year. I feel like we do this every year with him. Like, we hit that little stage in a year or the point in the year, like week 7, where shit ain't going well. But at the same time, that happens with a lot of schools, a lot of programs. I mean, we got the magnifying glass on us, but he's a good offensive coordinator, but it's just the little things I think we get irritated about, like the run game, running it up the middle and stuff.
When he called, like, good offensive coordinator, but call plays at the wrong time. If that makes sense to anybody. Like, he got some good offensive plays, but he called them at the wrong time.
I do feel like Dawson tries to run it up on everybody too. I don't fault that. I don't dislike that about him. Dawson trying to score 40 plus every game. You could tell.
As he should. And I think, kind of to, I had to step out for 1 second, but I think part of what was happening last year too is personnel related, as far as like opening it up more, particularly at the tight end position, because, you know, we had a Royal, you know, he could have done even more with a Royal, number one, but even in what he did do, he had a great year for a tight end, second round tight end. You know, and he was able to open up things more with him. I think this year, with these guys stepping up weapon-wise, you know, I think you're looking at Josh Moore probably securing one of those outside spots, Cooper, Barkate, and then Malley. And then you bring a guy like that we're hearing about, Vandrevious Jacobs, who really saying they could take the top off. What's his name? Cam Vaughn. Then kind of got it. They feel like can stretch the field a little bit too. I think we'll see a little bit more of that this year versus what we saw last year. Because I think last year, only person that you really kind of might look at that way was Sean. Sean Marion. We did that the other day, didn't we? Marion. Keelan Marion. CJ is your possession guy. He's your, go up and get it, contested catch, super dependable guy. But I don't know if we had the person that could stretch it. And I really do think until that SMU loss, he felt a little handcuffed by Mario. And I think you heard Mario's speech kind of change up about having fun. And I think you saw us, because like I always go back to, that's when you start seeing Malachi, playing QB.
Yeah, that loss did it right there.
Yeah, I think that was the one. I even saw a fan say, we got to get away from Malachi with that. And I don't have an issue with it. Anybody got issue with the Malachi?
No, that was I saw that. That was a little analyst saying it's a good thing we re-signed him, but as long as he gets away from using Mally, like all the little wildcat stuff. Yeah, the gadget stuff. I mean, it works when it works, but I don't think it should be happening no three plays a game.
Okay.
Well, here's the thing. I think we had to do it last year because of Carson Beck's limits ability to get out the pocket. With Mensa, you won't have he get out the pocket a lot more. If anybody knows Dawson's offense, Dawson likes his quarterback to get out the pocket sometimes. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So
extending plays.
Yeah, Beck is a pocket passer. You don't want Beck rolling down and maybe try to run or Beck is not that guy. So this year, I mean, they got film on Mally doing it, so I don't expect it to be a lot. The fact that earlier I was in the Discord and I was explaining basically how Dawson's offense is gonna work. Somebody was like, man, X, you think it's gonna be four wide receivers? I say, man, listen, it's gonna be four wide receivers. And Mally might be in the backfield, so just imagine that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he's gonna have some gadgets and gadgets where he can work with. Well, we gonna be looking like, well, Dawson, why you ain't use this last year? Like,
I think the weapon's better this year. We'll see.
They definitely better.
But yeah, overall, I just think, to X point two, recruiting wise, you got a continuity, because I think the biggest thing that we needed to do under Mario is give Miami an identity. And I don't think we've had one really previous for a while. Like the great Miami teams, you knew what we were, right? Like we was a pro style offense. And we had like a real base aggressive defense. Like those were what the great teams did. It wasn't nothing super fancy. They were just really good at it. And I think we probably stuck to that too long, right? And then we got kind of lost in the shuffle, and then we changed this coach and that coach, and we don't know who we are. But when you get this continuity at these coordinator positions and your head coach, now these recruits can say, oh, this is who they are and this is who they'll be for the next few years, because I can kind of depend on, okay, he'll probably be here. The head coach will definitely be here. And like now, Miami's a top offense, right? That's kind of foregone under Mario. Things have pushed us into a top 10 type offense. And then with Heatherman added, now we're in that top 10 defense type situation as well. And I think it's pretty evident. So I think it'll pay big dividends all in all. Everybody worried about Heatherman, which is crazy to me after 1 year, but... We worried about.
I mean, that's how good he was. We knew they was gonna come poaching. That's how good he was.
That's true. Good.
Yeah. Listen, we didn't know. Y'all remember? I was like, man, I got to see this man in the football. I got to see him in a live game, because I just didn't. To be honest, I didn't think he was gonna be that good until we played Notre Dame, and I was like, man, this man really is good. So, it's good. even after the announcement was made publicly, man, it was recruits saying, man, that's they just don't that y'all just don't know how important that is. That's really important. And you would think, I mean, you don't hear recruits talk about the importance of retaining coordinators. You know what I'm saying? They might say, oh, I like Pacific coach.
Right.
Pacific coach and stuff like that. But then they say, man, listen, that's important for and that's important for me making a decision because they retain the coordinators. So the system stays the same. That's the system I want to be in.
Right.
Opposed to, dang, they got a new coordinator. Now they got a whole new system. I got to try to see if I fit that system and stuff like that. Or even when I get there, now I'm at the back burner because the older guy's trying to learn it. And, you know, stuff yeah. like that. So,
yeah, it's kind of. If you look at some of the better teams in recent years, that's one of the things that they've had is continuity within their system. So, it, like I said, it just speaks to the dedication. They're willing to spend the money now because, you know, we all say we went from broke to overspending overnight, changed everything. Miami being
good. We spending Pentagon money right now. I guess that's what we're doing. They think we spending Pentagon money, so.
When Mario extension coming?
So Mario, I mean, they working on Mario's right first. Now. Nah, why?
He ain't tripping.
Why would it come first? Mario wants his coaches to get the money first.
Yeah.
Yeah. He ain't tripping.
Pay your coaches. Yeah. He gonna pay Mario. He gonna get his money. Mario gonna get his money. That's no doubt. It's let me get my coaches paid. You know what I'm saying? That's one thing I would say. He is telling them to pay the coaches. You know what I'm saying? So.
Yeah, because his seat's secure. He ain't got to worry about it. So if he want to actually keep building this thing out the way it's going, I got to make sure I lock this up. This is very important to me to lock this up because, I mean, in all honesty, we preseason right now, we're a championship caliber team right now, right? And who knows if we win it this year or not? But we'll be in the playoffs. And we'll have a chance to get something. We got a chance to make something happen this shit, right? Got to keep that rolling, though, because it's hard to win it all. We just saw what it took. I mean, we went all the way down the stretch. Could have won, should have won, but didn't happen, right? It's going to be hard to get back to that spot. But what's going to help a lot is having the same people around that program.
Already been there.
Yeah, right. And it's talent acquisition. So – I need people to understand this is who we are. This is what we do. You ain't got to worry about in a year. Oh, it's a whole new game. We don't run that offense no more. We don't run this defense no more. They'll feel comfortable knowing what's what. So I was going to ask you guys. I'll tell you what, X, let's talk real quick. Y'all saw X list. For the all Florida team.
Oh boy.
So let me explain it because some people thought it was just so some did think it was just players who grew up or was raised in the state of Florida. No, it was about the three schools
playing
Miami, Florida. Florida State, the players who played for those three schools. I was saying put together a list of the state of Florida, three big schools. And it ruffled some feathers. I mean, it was my list, so I didn't think it should ruffle feathers. You know, I just thought my opinion was my opinion. I didn't know I needed the approval of some turds, but hey, I forgot. this is social media, so.
I'll run the list real fast, so. And this is why they mad. So QB went Charlie Ward, running back McGahee, other running back Dalvin Cook, fullback Najee Davenport, tight end Winslow, left tackle McKinney, left guard one of the Pouncey twins, center Bibla, right guard the other Pouncey twin, right tackle Walter Jones, wide receiver Andre Johnson, other wide receiver Patrick Ward, Peter Ward, slot, Santana Moss, right? Defense, we got Wadsworth, Sapp, Simon, and Curse.
No. Take Simon out. I switched.
You swap Simon.
Put Jerome Brown. Yeah, I put Jerome Brown.
Oh, okay. You swap. Oh, yeah. That's fair. This was the one that you sent originally to us. All right, so Brown, and then you got Curse at the other end. Linebacker, Dan Morgan, Ray Lewis, and Jones, FSU.
Marvin Jones.
Marvin, yeah. Terrell Buckley at one corner, Deion Sanders at the other. Slot corner, yeah. Nickel, whatever, would be Phillip Buchanan. Sean Taylor, Ed Reed, and then kicker Janikowski, punter Townsend, and kick return, punt return Devin Hester. So one school felt left out. D-Rock, who left out? Who left out? You? I only had one guy. Who you felt left out?
Oh man, for our school or just any school?
Just any school. You just think like maybe somebody I might have put this person in instead of this person.
Oh man, I'm be honest. I probably would have put Harvin over Santana.
Yeah, I would have did. I was gonna say that one.
When I seen that,
I said no kind of list.
Listen, when I see that, I say, oh, X trying to burn the house down, boy, because you know they about to go, boy, you know what they about to do. Oh, so, yeah, I definitely would have put Harvin, because with the Charlie Ward thing, I wasn't going to put no Tebow over him, no, I wasn't going to do that. No, Charlie Ward, I think the closest thing, if not Charlie Ward, I probably would have put Jameis. I mean, I'll be honest, I probably would have put Jameis on there.
Jameis was the only guy I thought of outside of Ward. Like Tebow, right. I mean, go ahead.
And then I love the running backs. Cook for sure. Dalvin Cook for sure. I wouldn't have been mad if you probably would have said, like, if it was another school, other than that school, I probably would say, like, Fred Taylor. Oh, because I ain't gonna lie, I'm a big Fred Taylor fan, bro. I'm a big Fred Taylor fan. So
you would have took Fred Taylor over McGahee?
Yeah, I probably would have took Fred Taylor over McGahee because he did it more than just one year. McGahee did it 1 year. Granted, it was a great year. Fred Taylor was hooping his whole, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So it's like, I probably would have picked Fred Taylor.
I was like, I'm not putting him in.
I said, Emmy could have been there, but I said, listen, I ain't seen one running back have 1,900 yards and 28 touchdowns. Until y'all showed me that, there's no way I'm putting the running back in front of
him. On a loaded team, too.
You see what I'm saying? Like,
right.
It's just crazy. They said, the arguments, none of the arguments added up or made sense. It was just more bias. And like I say, even when I put the list, I admit it. I left Percy Harvin now. I'm supposed to add Percy Harvin. I was going to put Percy Harvin as a flex specialist because I just wasn't going to take Santana Moss out. That was just not going to happen. So I admit, I did that. But the argument that I got most from the timeline, okay, I got Florida State. I'm going to start with Florida State. They started off with Derrick Brooks over the Dan Morgan stuff.
Crazy.
I didn't really want to say much about it because I was like, well, maybe they don't know. They just don't know. Then they start saying, well, you know, Derrick Brooks was all ACC 3 years in a row and he was an All-American. And I was like, duh, I know. But Dan Morgan.
He had to be. Yeah, Dan Morgan.
Dan Morgan was one of the only linebackers who've had 100 tackles each season. He was in college football 4 years in a row. All Big East team, All-American twice. Dan Morgan, senior season, won every defense award that you could think of. How can you not say he was the best linebacker? Like, that's just...
To this day, no one else has won the Butkus, Ben Dark, and the Gersky. Like, that's why I was like, I saw that argument too. I was like,
didn't he lead the nation in tackles too?
Led the nation in tackles,
And I got love for Derrick Brooks. Derrick Brooks is one of the only nose I really rock with. It's like him, Warwick Dunn, and Peter Warwick. Them kind of like my nose that I was like, damn, I wish them boys would have been Canes type people. But I got to meet Derek a couple of times when I was living in Pensacola. He just wanted to be like all the guys in Pensacola stayed there except Emmett. They hate Emmett though, because Emmett never came back.
Oh, Emmett, and I got one more.
Never came back. Go ahead, D-Rob.
I got one more at fullback. You have Najee. I probably went Greg Jones for Florida State. I could have went Greg Jones.
Florida State fans argue about William Floyd. And then when I thought about it, I said, well, damn, they kind of right. William Floyd did play fullback for a year.
Yeah, so it's like, didn't Florida have that fullback, Neil?
I don't recall.
I don't recall
them. No, Neil. I just saw a story about him too. Rizzo Neal was like a man at fullback. Bro.
Yeah. Well, he ain't going to Florida, so never mind.
Yeah, he went crazy. But
You could have went William Floyd. Yeah, William Floyd wouldn't have been a bad. Yeah. Because you got to think about it, Najee was more. I mean, he played both. But if you're talking strictly fullback, then I would say, William Floyd. I would say William Floyd, yeah. Because Greg Jones did both, too. Greg Jones did both.
But in 2026, I don't have William Floyd in the lineup. I don't care. I would put Najee in the lineup, though, because Najee can run and catch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So that was my argument. Once they said William Floyd, I'm like, well, would you put William Floyd in your starting lineup for 2026? And they were like, well, yeah, once you start saying, well, what you finna go run the option or, you know what I'm saying? You couldn't get that old school eye formation. Nah, ain't nobody running that offense no more. It's 2026. You gonna put Najee in the game. Guess what? Because Najee can run, he could catch. So.
And the
Tebow over Charlie Ward thing, I just,
yeah.
Listen, that was probably the funniest one because I'm like, I just knew they was going to be burnt up about it. They like, how you going to put Tebow is the greatest? He's probably the greatest football player in college football. Like, man,
no, Tebow you're not. Tebow is all God, bro.
But Ward would do a lot more with less talent on the team than Tebow would.
Man, if you put Charlie Ward in the 2026 offense right now, you finna have something special you probably ain't never seen before.
I'm taking Cam Ward over Tebow. Like, what are we talking about? Today, if you were putting that team back together today, like you said, to go field them, you know, all these guys at their prime in college, if I'm fielding the team today, Tebow's not my number two quarterback. He won. He had greatness, right? And a lot of his greatness just came from the fact that they had very talented teams. And yes, he was the quarterback, and they won. I give him that. But he wasn't a great quarterback. Like, he never was a great – even when I used to watch him play back then, I used to be like, God, this game ugly. It was effective, yet ugly. It was like Johnny Manziel to me. When I watched Johnny Manziel at Texas A&M, I used to be like, damn, this dude keep winning. He has an ugly game. This dude does not play quarterback. And I knew with both of those guys, huge mistake to make them first rounds. They didn't have the talent to play in the NFL at all, let alone go first round. Both of those schools were terrible ideas. He wanted to do it at the end of his career. When they tried to tell him to do it at the beginning, he was like, "Nah, I'm a quarterback. Now I'm a quarterback." Then when he's 33, now you'll play tight end for Jacksonville. Out there looking slow as dirt. Like, it looked silly out there. You know, and then that's the thing. He always got this, I'm a team player thing. I was like, why you ain't do the team player thing when teams were saying, hey, we think we could use you. We just think he might be a better fullback or tight end at this point. You know, early in his career, he wouldn't bud. So it is what it is. But I knew they were going to come out about that. The number 15 jersey. They always talk about people living in the past. That 15 jersey lives on, baby. Who is the greatest college player? Yeah.
The greatest college player?
Yeah.
Barry
Sanders. That's kind of disrespectful to say, though. That's like saying who's the best NFL.
Barry, you got Barry, Bo Jackson.
I was going to say Barry.
Reggie Bush.
College. I'm going to say I think Reggie Bush, man. Like, it's great before him, but Bush is up there because what he did.
Barry, you got to take Barry over him because Reggie Bush is on the team too. If you put Barry on USC.
No. No, Barry was great. But he was not.
Say, 2,800 yards, man.
Listen, Barry was great. But what Bush did as a runner, catcher, returner, Barry didn't do all of what Reggie did. You know what I'm saying? As a pure runner, yes, Barry Sanders. Yeah. But we're talking about a player all around. Nah, Reggie Bush, bro.
Well, yeah, Barry the best running back ever.
Yeah.
In my lifetime, I'm 43. In my lifetime, two of the best players I've ever seen put on a football uniform and play football was Reggie Bush and Peter Ward.
No, I would have said Peter.
I've never seen two individuals that controlled the game when the ball got in their hand as much as those two.
I'm
gonna throw a couple more names out there. I ain't heard this yet. These are guys super high on my list. Far as you know, college. Cam Newton. Cam took a marginally talented team and won it all. Like
that was 1 year though.
Yeah, but that's man, that team wasn't that good.
Yeah,
though.
what Cam did, nobody was good. Yeah,
Amazing while he did
that team wasn't good. Yeah. That Auburn team was not good. They had a few players on it, but Cam
wasn't that good. And Cam just won them damn games. Other guy for me that's super high is Vince Young.
He beat USC by himself.
Yeah, so hard to stop, bro. Man. He good for 250 and 250. He'll go out and give you 250 with his legs and 250 in the air. Like, that's insane. And then my third person would be give some love to the defense for sure, Charles Woodson. He was like one of the first to play a little bit of that both side of the football thing. And he was a great return man, also in his own respect. If I had one more man, probably Ndamukong Suh.
I was just gonna say that shit.
I say Sue, and Sue was insane.
Bro, he should have won Heisman that year, bro.
Yeah. Only other person I remember playing like that was close to the Heisman. Y'all remember Glenn Dorsey?
From LSU. Yeah.
Yeah, he had an insane year like that 1 year too, where Glenn was in the conversation for a Heisman as well.
So let me ask you, because maybe you, I don't know, maybe D-Rob remember. Was Ndamukong Suh better than Jerome Brown?
No, man.
I'm not gonna be biased.
I didn't see Jerome Brown live.
I seen him. Yeah, purely as a D tackle, because I think Jerome Brown could he did both. You know what I'm saying? As a pure D tackle, Sue is
Jerome Brown had DNs and shit, linebackers.
I'm biased, man. I don't think he was no player better than Jerome Brown. I'm just biased because, like I say, the first time I seen that nigga in the when they put on them damn fatigues, I was like, man, this guy right here is amazing. And he went on that. But yeah, Ndamukong Suh.
You gotta put Ricky Williams, Cedric Benson, other running backs there. Niggas was wondering if AP was the best player in the nation as a true freshman.
That's true.
You're right. Yeah, you're right.
And the Big 12 was stacked back then too. That's when the Big 12 was a Big 12 for real.
Nah, AP was something serious.
I got something for you. All right, so at kicker, I was looking. I'm like Janikowski, but you why not Borgalis? Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you why. Listen, I'm gonna tell you why. Jose Borgalis. They both won the Lou Garza. Borgalis had a longer field goal in college than Janikowski. He had a higher kick. He had a higher percentage on field goals than Janikowski. He only missed. Hold on, wait. I'm going to tell you because I had pulled it up. While we were talking about this, I had pulled it up. Janikowski missed 3 extra points in college. And they both missed 3 extra points. The only difference is Borgalis had an 80% and Janikowski was at 78% as far as on field goals. So it's like,
neck and neck.
They neck and neck.
I'm taking Janikowski just because he could kick that bitch from 80 yards
fat,
if he needed
that
to.
That fat Oscar, whatever country you from, man. That man,
Poland.
That
he was Poland.
Polish.
Yeah.
He kicked the hell out of that ball.
And they both were all Americans. They both were all Americans.
Man, but the only difference also was the first round pick, man.
That's the only difference. He was the first round pick. That's it. But when they made that pick, everybody was like, "What the hell? A kicker?"
Only
yeah, a lot of people they listen. I was catching flicks for putting Janikowski. Like the Gators felt like they had a kicker that was better than him. I'm like the Gators. Basically, y'all just want me to put everybody from the Gators on here. I say, well, yeah. That don't make
sense. We don't think those guys are that great.
Yeah, I will say, on my list, I was with you. I'm gonna get my spit real quick, Larion. I was with you with the Percy. I'll take Santana off and put Percy. Instead of Buchanan, I ain't gonna hold you. I might put Ramsey there.
Yeah, I was thinking about putting Ramsey.
Ramsey was a bad boy, bro.
Yeah, and then, that's right. The boy terrorizes. I ain't gonna hold you.
Yeah. And then if Ramsey wasn't there, I would have put Joe Hayden. Because to me, I can't stay in Florida, but.
Yeah, I hate him.
You know what?
Yeah, but that's three Florida players, and Joe Hayden was one of them.
One of them. I got you.
Yeah.
Man, but what about Hargraves though?
Hargraves was nice. Yeah, he was.
Yeah, Hargraves. You couldn't throw on Hargraves in college, bro. Nope.
At all.
No, you couldn't. Nah, he shut down the whole side of the field. But you can't put him over Buckley and Sanders. Buckley and Sanders was. Out of this world,
right?
Yeah, yeah, man.
So hard, yeah. Sanders,
yeah, Buckley was an F. Buckley was yeah, like, punts and all that shit
Ramsey
too.
Taking Buchanan even. I had to tell Buchanan guy.
I had to tell Florida State fans probably a couple years ago that Terrell Buckley was better than Deion Sanders in college. They were like, "Man, you crazy?" I like, "Y'all better go look at the years that they both played." Buckley was getting interceptions. Like, Buckley. Yeah. Had like by 18 interceptions. Sanders had 18 interceptions. The only way Prime is better because his household name, he returned punches.
I about to say the return game part.
Yeah. That's it. But Buckley was, but yeah, those two. I mean, you can't deny Buckley and Sanders. And then I even had some Florida State fan talk about, "Oh, you got to put Durbin in there." I'm like, "Well, who the hell is Durbin finna get over?"
Yeah.
Durbin didn't play half the time at Florida State, neither.
Yeah,
I wouldn't care if he did play. Like, who he finna be? Like, he ain't over Sean
Taylor.
He was
nice, yeah, but like
he ain't over Ed Reed.
Like you said, yeah, he can't put him over either one. And then, like you said, his availability, like he right. was hurt a lot. I wasn't sure he's a better pro than he was at Florida State.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he got drafted all the potential.
Right, he got drafted. Yeah. Physically gifted. I mean, they compared him to Sean Taylor because of the physical gifts. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he was hurt a lot in college, so he didn't really blossom until he got to the league. All right, one last thing before we get out of here. I wanted to touch on the Reuben Baines situation. By now, everybody knows some chump ass reporter
from Ohio State.
It was Ohio State, a fan or associated in some way. He goes and drops a story about Reuben Bain being involved in a fatal car wreck, right? Where the passenger ended up getting, I believe, ejected from the vehicle, ends up in a coma for a while, and then ends up passing. The family of the victim, the young lady that ended up passing away, made it their point of emphasis to say, "Hey, we don't want this story to become a story." I'm sure, you know, they had their reasons because, well, they even said they want to kind of heal and move on, right? So, like, let's just leave it where it is. But he felt so compelled. And, you know, that's the thing about today. People crave attention now more than ever. It worked. You know, that story made it to ESPN. I saw it, like, when I opened my Google, that was one of my top stories. Before I, you know, all that going on, just real quick, B. Robert, give me like your thoughts just on
man. It pissed me off, right? Because it pissed me off more is the fact that came out now, and then it's like it came back from somebody who was fired from two previous jobs. You know what I'm saying? As an NFL, I think he was like a scout or he did something else, right? Mm-hmm. And then he's not an active poster. You know, most of these guys are posting every day. Right. Bro, he hasn't posted since he did that.
So that tells me
he's sitting back, looking at all the engagement he's getting, all this, and probably caught a little check, because it is not a coincidence that an Ohio State fan did that. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it would have just been like one of these Pete Dammel or somebody like that, we probably have been like, you know what I'm saying? Whatever, it is what it is. But for him to do that, like, come on, bro. Like that. When I seen it, I was like, yeah, that's crazy, bro. Like, why would you even do that? You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, it is what it is. And what pissed me off even more about it is that all these coaches and everybody's like, yeah, we've been knew about it months ago. Like, and it's like, if all these NFL teams, all these people already knew about it, and they didn't come out and, you know what I'm saying? Like, why would you do that?
It didn't make sense to me, bro. I feel bad for the girl's family more than anybody, though.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. For sure. Because they didn't want the story out in the first place.
They already made the amends with Bane. Everybody moved past it. It's 2 years.
It was an accident.
They waking up on the phone and it's on ESPN now and they story back at it. You reliving the shit again.
Yeah. Is this just an example of fandom going too far?
Yeah.
Because you know what? Because I'm thinking about it, right? Because you can even look at the thing, right? And it says that she didn't have her seatbelt on. Granted, it's tragic. I'm not trying to say, you know what I'm saying? Whatever. But it's like, everybody's like, oh, he murdered somebody. He didn't murder somebody. She was the only one that was in the car that did not have a seatbelt on. And it's unfortunate that happened. You know what I'm saying? Like, sure.
They don't even know the definition of murder for them to say that dumb
something.
Like, murder. And they kept saying reckless driving. It wasn't reckless driving. It was careless driving. Careless. You know what I'm saying? Whatever. Yeah, it's a big difference. He wasn't above the speed limit. He wasn't under, you know what I'm saying? It was none of that.
The girl's parents even said it was just a tragic accident, bro. It was just a tragic accident.
I'm going to tell you what pisses me off. We knew about this when it happened. The day it happened, we knew about it. This is Miami, Florida. Miami, Florida ain't covering up nothing. If they find out you got a little known celebrity or whatever, they is going to put the story out immediately. So that's... Oh, the Miami covered it up. How the hell can we cover something up? The police is going to definitely put it out. It's a death involved now. It's not. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So we knew about it 2 years ago when it happened. We knew about it when they went to court and they dismissed all the charges. The family was like, man, yeah, we ain't trying to do nothing, man, because, like you said, it was an accident. We ain't trying to hurt this man's career. And the crazy part is they was even trying to offer money about, yeah, man, we gonna give y'all money. And the family like, man, listen, it happened. You know what I'm saying? It was just tragic. Yeah. And they left it alone.
And it,
they didn't want nobody to put out no articles about nothing. Right. So, and then now people saying, oh, well, yeah, Miami, they should have reported it. Who the hell reports? Like, that's just... it's just stupid.
It's things where... You know, I think it's just fandom going too far, right? And we see it all the time. And fan is fanatic. Like, anybody that, you know me, I tell people, don't love nothing, can't love you back. I'm a huge Miami Hurricane fan. I got Miami Hurricane stuff on right now. My truck got Miami Hurricane stuff all over it. Been, you know, a fan all my whole life. But I can't put that above humanity. And right. I think that's the problem. Correct. Here is there was such lack of humanity in this. The family directly asked you not to do this. You specifically want to take the time to do this because you're an Ohio State fan. Like, this is the best troll. Like, this is why, and this is why I don't get heavy on this whole troll thing, man. It's always somebody want to be the best. Mm-hmm. And so they're willing to take it wherever it need to go. And that's why, like you said, D-Rock, he don't even post. He threw the grenade out there and then went away. He know all of the backlash he getting. And they ain't took one time to come out and apologize to the family. Nothing. He just sitting back laughing, going, I got the best one.
I got engagement. Right. I tweeted. I say, man, the man ain't tweet since March 31st. Now right. He want to tweet April 12th. Y'all don't think this man plant this? Like, he planted it out. It's a week before the draft. He knew what he was doing.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I love that, which is ignorant on his part, too, that, you know, the like the Detroit Lions GM came out and said it. And I saw every talking head you could think of, from Adam Schefter to Todd McShay, they all
like,
yeah, NFL teams been knew this, bro. Hey, dum-dum, the NFL knows. Them people, like, they like the CIA. They know. Promise you. If you farted in the wind wrong and they ain't say excuse me, they going to ask you about that when you sit down.
Uh-huh.
You coming in for them interviews. Hey, man, how about uh-huh. today? You ain't say excuse me when you walk through the hall. You thought, you know, nobody knew. Like, they know that. So, what you attempted to do isn't going to work. It's not going to damage his draft stock at all. You know, he's going to go where he's going to go. I still think he ends up in the top 10 picks. And, you know, I think just was there for the giddy up. It was just.
I actually even seen a Florida fan say they would draft him even higher, him playing like that with all that on his heart.
Right, exactly. Like, that showed the focus.
And whoever found out about it wouldn't post it. They probably sent it to old boy who posted it and was like, oh, this duck will post it. I ain't posting this shit on my goddamn Twitter. He'll post it though.
Yeah, you know, it just, you know, I think we got cool people that rock with us, and I've you know, people that our listeners and the people I try to surround myself, man. Just at any point in time when you just start thinking, like, oh, I got to get the ultimate troll off, just chill, bro. Go find something else to do. This shit don't pay enough. It don't pay enough. And treat humans like humans. You worried about a sports team that don't love you more so than just treating people who lost somebody, their daughter, a loved one, tragically, unexpectedly. That was more important to you than it was more important to get that troll off than to just show some humanity and respect. So I just want to say my little piece on that, man, before we get out of here.
The worst thing about it was, like you say, man, they didn't put all the facts out. They just put what they wanted to put out. You know what I'm saying? That's the part I hate about journalism and social media now, because I think back in the days when you had to get that article printed on paper, it probably don't come out. You know what I'm saying? Because right. you got to put all the facts out.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of the time now, they just say, let me look at the headline. Oh, man, okay, I ain't got to click on the link. Let me just read the headline, and I know everything I need to know. So yeah. It's all good, man. But
rest like in I peace said, to I told lady.
You. Yeah, rest in peace to her, man, and no weapon formed against you, Bane. You already know it ain't going to prosper, man. The enemy is out here, man. So
yeah, only up from here. But yeah, I had to speak my two cents on that, man, before we get up out of here. We appreciate y'all rocking with us. We'll be back, which is, wait, D-Rog, I said, D-Rog, always my one.
Yeah. Yes, sir. Hey, so on another
one
note.
One more Rog.
One
listen,
more.
To end on.
Go ahead, hey,
so to end this on another note, this is what Billy Napier just said.
Oh, boy. Pay me my money.
He said, listen, no. This is the first time in my career where I've inherited a positive culture, confidence among players, and alignment from top to bottom. Ooh, James Madison. Virginia now. So, oh my God. Hey, you know, I'm having a field day with this boy.
Billy shooting back. Fuck y'all.
Yep, exactly.
Billy,
exactly.
You sucked as an offensive coordinator. You buried yourself, brother. If you would have just hired OC, you probably still be working there.
But that just tell me, like, it's bad over there, bro. It's been bad over there, and no telling how long it's been like that.
Yeah, well, I hope you stay like that. Let's get about it. It's been 26 degrees, man. Peace.
Peace.
Peace. Peace. Peace.
We gonna let the band deal with this. We'll be right back.
It's 26 degrees.